I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio for December. You know how quickly this month will go. It will be a joy. It will be a blur. At least in our house. We start this month with Mary McDermott, who is the winemaker from Township 7 on the Naramata Bench, who came back from London with an award for their sparkling wines. Actually, one of the big sparkling wine awards in the world. And she has new releases for you. And then we follow it up with Mark Hopley, the winemaker at Hester Creek on the Golden Mile. They also have been winning awards, but more importantly, they've got an interesting release coming called Project X. It's quite, and there's only 200 bottles there. So it's an amazing story, and we're going to announce it on this show today because it happens as of December the 1st. This is Tasting Room Radio, kicking off December. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Okanagan Wine Festivals. Visit the Okanagan Valley this winter and experience beautiful BC wine country. The Okanagan Winter Wine Festival takes place January 20 through 28 across the Okanagan. Events include happy hours, fire and ice carnival, a winter artisan market, scenic sips, live music Sundays, Christmas markets. You can find all the details for the Okanagan Winter Wine Festival in January at thewinefestivals.com. My name is Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. I have Mary McDermott as the winemaker at Township 7 and Winery in the Okanagan, specifically Naramata Bench. And Langley, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, Langley.
But, I mean, here's a question I don't think I've ever asked you. How many different vineyards are you pulling from?
Six, seven, eight.
And they're all over?
Goes from Osoyoos to Naramata to Langley.
Okay. I did see a photo of you. The only thing missing was a tiara. I believe it was in London with your new hair.
Yes, new haircut.
You were all dressed up and you were getting you were getting a very prestigious award. Please tell us about it.
So from the Champagne and Sparkling Wine World Championship, which is judged in the reception is held in London. We got to fly over and receive the best sparkling wine in Canada.
You've been there before. I mean, your wines have been there before and have won before.
This is the second time we've won this award. So we won it back in 2019 for our Seven Stars Polaris. This time we won it for the Seven Stars Rigel, which is a Riesling-based sparkling. And apparently we were told by the organizers that it was the first time an aromatic sparkling had won a national championship.
And you were runner-up to the world champion from Italy?
In the aromatic category, we came second.
Okay.
Internationally.
That's
so
fantastic.
All over the world.
That's fantastic. And you got to go to London.
Yeah, that's even better, isn't it?
Yes. Every day when I open my news sources, I'm seeing references to and some headlines to the state of winemaking in British Columbia. They're painting a pretty dark picture. How do you read it from your side?
It is kind of grim. This past year, harvest was down about 54% across the board. So it means, obviously, we can make 54% less wine. And there was also a lot of vine death as well, which means we'd have to pull out and replant vineyards, a number of vineyards, because of the cold that happened in December of 2021.
And it was cold. And everybody knew, I mean, that's one of the first things that anybody told me when we were living on Naramata Bench. Watch your temperatures if it gets minus 20, anything, you know, minus 25, 27, I think was the magic number that I heard. Was it like minus 30 at one point?
It was minus 30 at our vineyard in Oliver. However, in Naramata, it never got as cold, which is lucky. Naramata was relatively spared. So most of the wineries on the bench here did okay. It was areas like Oliver, Osoyoos, and Kelowna, East and West Kelowna and Lake Country were devastated.
The replant was in the article that I saw was a highly suggested idea simply because you could, there's different plants now. There's different stocks of plants. There's different clones of plants. Is it going to turn out to be maybe a good thing at some point?
Yeah, I think so. I think we still have a lot of research to do to see what is actually, because we're so young in the world of winemaking and growing grapes, we still need to understand more about where we live and what is actually appropriate. We can make some really good wines out of vines that have not done well this year. For example, Syrah was very badly hurt in the cold, but we can make beautiful Syrah in the Okanagan. So I think we have to understand a little bit more about climate change and understand, our terroir and what kind of varieties might be most appropriate. I think there are some varieties that we are growing now that are fine and have done well. But there may be some different varieties. There's plenty of varieties out there. We just kind of go for the most popular ones sometimes. So there's lots to do to figure that out for sure. And I know that we're trying to understand it better and trying to help with direction of which we should be planting in which locations.
I'd heard that Riesling seemed to be tough enough, or in construction anyway, to be able to withstand the cold. Is that what you got from your side?
Yeah, Riesling did well. We even did okay with Sauvignon Blanc, even though there was other people who hadn't. So
Sure.
I'm
Okay.
not sure whether
Yeah.
sometimes that's dependent upon how you manage your vines through each year. I think for us, the biggest problems that we saw were Bordeaux reds.
Okay. Whew. All right. Those of us in
Yeah.
the Bordeaux red business. I had heard that the timing of that cold freeze was unfortunate because the vines, after they had been harvested, the vineyards didn't have a chance to settle down, get ready for winter, and that just settle down for winter for
Yeah.
survival. They were still in
Well,
that, right?
the thing last year is we had a beautiful October and it was sunny and warm
Yeah.
and it was needed because we had lots of grapes and we'd had 3 years of yields being lower. So we had a year where yields looked really good and were really good. And the thing that saved us was that October was warm. September and October were beautiful and warm and dry and sunny. So grapes were able to ripen. However, November 2nd, I know here we got snow. And so it was almost like night and day, the change in temperature. We had really quite warm or mid to high teens temperatures almost up until that point, and then all of a sudden it
Okay.
got cold. And things also with the plants were funny. There was no senescence, meaning leaves didn't drop off. You might have seen it in trees as well. Leaves didn't drop. So the plant interior wasn't shutting down properly. And so that had a bit of an effect too.
I'm a big fan of, as much as I love the Syrah from the south of the Okanagan, it's the Viognier that gets my attention. Big fan. How did the Viognier hold up?
It had some issues too. Those Rhone varieties did not do well. Like our growers, their plants are still alive, but the yields were down significantly.
So I'm looking at your Benchmark Series 2021 Viognier. Do you happen to have a bottle with you
We
that hasn't been
do.
recycled? Hasn't been recycled. Thank you. Let me. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
What caught my attention, first of all, even before I had tasted it, I saw that it came from Fool's Gold Vineyard in north of Oliver,
Right.
and had been managed by Mark Antonello, who his father-in-law is Richard Comby Dick Cleeve.
That's the one.
Anything that Dick Cleve has planted or watched over, I'm interested in. So I knew I was
Yeah.
going to like this Viognier anyway. It turned out beautifully.
Yes, Mark has a lovely site there. Richard or Dick Cleave planted it as so Mark is married to Dick's daughter, and they wanted to move out here to be with the rest of the family. So Richard found them a property and got it ready and planted it for them when they came. And so Mark has been looking after it ever since. And just a lovely, lovely man to work with, and always trying to do absolutely the best because he just understands that he wants to do the best he can to give the best quality grapes, and it works every time.
It has this Viognier has so much going for it. Just a Rhone style, the nose, how expressive it is, how it finishes in the mouth, how you can barely get it swallowed before you say, "Oh wow, oh my
Yeah,
goodness."
it looks fantastic. It's we didn't weren't able to make as much of it as we had hoped, but it really came through. It's partly barrel fermented, partly stainless fermented, so all of those attributes are starting to come out into it, giving it that more that nice texture that you get, a little bit of roundness, and then the fruit on it is lovely. Because of the both barrel fermented and stainless, you get a nice roundness on the palate,
Oh
which will
man.
lift that up. So if you get a sweetness to it, it tends to when it's fermenting, it tends to smell like pink grapefruit in the winery, which is amazing. And it's one of my favorites while it's fermenting to be around.
Let's talk about your seven stars in a second, okay? We'll gather up
Okay.
and we'll get ready to go. She is Mary McDermott, and she is the winemaker of record at Township 7 Vineyards and Winery. This is Tasting Room Radio. We'll be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. It is, of course, the home of many award-winning wines. But we do want to tell you about the Modest Butcher, their dining room, dining with reckless abandon at Mount Boucherie since 2020. Wine down Wednesdays, half-price bottles of vino. Happy hour, $5 glasses of wine, 2 to 5-ish every day. Tommy and Tannen, order a tomahawk steak, get your Reserve Merlot for $5. And just a heads up, on the Mount Boucherie website, check out the interesting page called Yule Fuel. Yule Fuel includes Riesling, Mandaray Red and Mandaray Rosé, the Contessa 2020, the Reserve Pinot Noir 2020, and Mount Bubbles. You can find all the details at mountboucherie.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. With the holiday season up ahead, a quick reminder of the 2023 Hillside Holiday Gift Guide. 12 Days of Hillside, a mystery bundle of 12 individually wrapped wines. The Ultimate Hillside Collection has a wine for everyone. The Red Wine Lovers Collection, a curated selection of Hillside's favorite red wines. The Rosé Lovers Collection, a fun bundle of 3 unique expressions of rosé. The Aromatic Whites, a 6-pack collection of Hillside's iconic aromatic white wines. An amazing single vineyard Merlot collection. The Decadent Duo, luxurious fortified wines. And the wonderful book, Okanagan Eats. Details on the holiday gift guide at hillsidewinery.ca. Welcome back, Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan. I am lucky enough to be talking to Mary McDermott, who is the winemaker of record, Township 7 Vineyards and Winery. I love talking to you for a whole number of reasons. I like your passion for your job and the life that you've chosen. Seven Stars Vega 2021. Is there any chance of getting a hand on it, or do we have to wait for the, and do we have to join the wine club?
No, you don't have to join the wine club. You can get Seven Stars Rigel at the tasting room or online. It's the new vintage though now, but it's just as good. Tastes the same to me.
You know, Mary, there's a big push to buy local because
Yes.
wineries need it. Are you seeing any buy local coming your way?
People are still supporting us. Yes. And I find that so we've just had our Club 7 release, and we've had lots of people come in and support us. So yes, we're finding that BC patrons really do support us, and we appreciate it.
Is the Seven Stars Vega 2021? You notice I just kind of keep moving forward. Is also from the Fool's Gold Vineyard in North Oliver, same one we were talking about, the Dick Cleave.
Same block of the onion.
Those are happy vines.
Yeah.
Single vineyard, made with Viognier.
If unusual, you had, yeah. It's unusual for sparkling, yeah.
Okay. Picked in August 30th for, because of the acidity?
Yes.
Okay.
And acidity and the sugars. So for sparkling, we don't want sugars too high. And we want to maintain that acidity. We make it slightly off dry in the finish, just to balance that out.
Without getting sidetracked, explain please to the audience entourage in terms of your bubble.
Okay, so we do traditional method sparkling wines, which means they're fermented twice. We make a base wine, which is fermented to dryness. And then we put some yeast and some sweetness back into the tank so we can have a secondary ferment. And we, as soon as we do that, we bottle it. And that's how you get your bubbles and so on in the bottle. So for the Vega, which we like to maintain that Viognier characteristic, we only leave it in that bottle for a year until we disgorge it. So it stays on the yeast, the dead yeast cells that have done the secondary ferment, and then we disgorge it, meaning we take out those dead yeast cells, and then we top it up with whatever dosage we have decided upon.
Sure.
And then put the cork in the cage and foil on it and let it sit for a bit till it's ready to drink.
Do you plan for an off-dry style, or does the vintage year decide an off-dry style?
Generally, we do the trials every year to see what will give us the best result.
Sure.
Generally, this variety kind of asks for off-dry, slightly off-dry. Yeah.
A club exclusive means we should be joining that wine club?
Seven Stars Wine Club. Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. It's one of the only sparkling wine clubs in Canada. So you get six different sparklings with twice a year.
Pink grapefruit, citrus, maybe even those small Japanese mandarin oranges at Christmas time. Beautiful. It's just got things going for it and a mouthfeel to die for.
Yeah, the mousse is really creamy and nice. We worked really hard on trying to get that mousse just right so the bubbles are fine and the palate feels so creamy. It's been one of the things I've worked on hard.
Have you gone back in the library and tasted some of the older vintages just to see how they handle themselves in the bottle?
Yes, I have. And we do keep some aside in our library. Yeah. So they look good still. Like they last, which is, I'm happy to see. I think it's the acidity that helps them stay in good condition.
I meant to ask these things. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. The price that we can expect to pay for the Viognier.
Good question. I think it's $36.97.
Okay. And how about the Vega?
Oh, that's the Vega. $36.97. And this, what did you ask me? The Rigel's the same price.
No, the Viognier.
The Viognier is $30.97.
Thank you, Mary. Now, the Seven Stars Sirius 2016.
2016 is 100% Langley fruit, so from our estate in Langley.
Okay.
Predominantly Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. They're fermented together, so it's a complete field blend every time. Fermented together.
On my notes. It just feels like a field blend.
And it stays on tirage, so in the bottle with the yeast cells after bottling for 5 years.
Those of you who think, I'd like to get into the wine business, imagine that that you make something and then you wait 5 years before you can sell it or release it, and you hope that people like it. It's a craft, friends. We're talking about a craft here. So the crown jewel, is, and rightly so, it earns that. Do you put it into competition? Do you want to compete with the world?
Yeah, I do. So for the previous vintage, we won the Lieutenant Governor's Platinum Award.
Yes, you did.
And we do win a lot with this wine. We've gotten great reviews out of, numerous wine writers. So it's something to be proud of.
The Great Northwest Invitational Wine Competition 2023, you got a gold medal.
Mm-hmm. And then I think the Wine Enthusiast gave us a 94 or something as well on that. It's definitely our top end sparkling wine.
This one can age. This one can age.
Oh, it can age, yeah.
Okay. I think it was Gizmondi who said, imagine you walk by a bakery facing the ocean. Yeah, something like that. I like that.
Yeah.
I got the bakery part.
He did, that leaving it on those yeast cells for 5 years, it gives it what they call autolytic characters, fancy name. Basically, it just smells like fresh baked brioche or biscuits. It's lovely.
Creamy, beautiful finish, beautiful finish, beautiful mouthfeel. And you say to yourself, at least I did, how lucky am I?
That's all good.
Isn't that great? That's
fantastic.
That's what art should do. It should elevate your life.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a labor of love, this one. When you think about, I've picked it in September, say, and then it's not going to come out for 5.5 years or be finished product until 5.5 years, and then maybe another year before it's even released. I have to appreciate the fact that our owners have the patience for that.
Please. Because there are people get into the wine business and we got to get going. We got to make a rosé every year. We've got to pay the bills. And rightly so. Everybody approaches it differently. If you have the time and you have ownership that allows you, that's what it needs. It needs time. It's
sure does.
What's the phrase out of South Africa? That label, the work of time, which is winemaking. I love the acidity, and I really, really like the finish, the nose. I like everything about it, and I can understand why Sirius 2016 is your crown jewel. How much for this crown jewel, ma'am?
$79.97.
Is there any left?
Yeah, there's quite a bit, actually. Lots to go. You've got it relatively early in the release, so can come and get lots. It is a Seven Stars Club exclusive, but every once in a while, we maybe at Christmas time, we allow some sold to just others.
We're coming up to Christmas now. Is there any bargoons you want us to tell us about? Any opportunities?
We just had Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale. So we had all those, and then our club has just come out, and we've released a bunch of new wines. So, and we also have our Infinity, which is a very limited amount red wine that we make. We try to make every year, but we only make 50 cases of it.
Okay.
And so you can buy it in a 3 or 6 bottle pack.
Okay.
So that's something else that's special for Christmas.
This is good. By the way, as a public service, can you tell the listening audience what's coming between now and, say, January, February? Are there releases in and around now?
Yeah, we'll be releasing the 2020 Seven Stars Polaris. So the next vintage will be coming out. We've just released some 2020 Rand, so Syrah has just been released. And then probably in the spring, the new Viognier, the 2022 Viognier.
This is no piece of cake, this winemaking, Mary, as you well know. If you were talking to a class of people considering, young people considering a life in wine,
yes,
what would you tell that room now?
I know it's very seen as a very glamorous position. It is a lot of hard work, for sure. And you have to know many, I'd say it's so varied. There's so many facets to the job. It's not only, doing the making of the wine, so, and blending and getting those things right. It's also growing and understanding the vines and the soil and how all of that works together. So it's a very holistic kind of job that needs lots of focus. And it's good because it's interesting. Every year it's different. Something always different, some new challenge for you. And so it keeps it fresh, for sure.
Would you ask them, ask yourself, do I have the makeup for this? What does it require besides patience and talent? Passion, commitment?
Yes, passion, commitment, attention to details, all the little things that are happening you have to know about. Yeah. And you have to be able to go with the flow, too.
And be a team player, right?
Oh, yeah. There's tons of teamwork involved. And you should also think about being involved with your community or and your industry, because that's helpful too. You're not only helping your own business, you're helping the industry as a whole. It's really important to do that, I think, as well.
And they can't teach you guys how to take rejection when people badmouth your wines or speak ill of a wine that you've crafted. How do you handle that?
Just, I guess, like anybody else would, we just try and go move on from it. And you know, everybody's different. And everybody. Just understand that not everybody's going to like everything that you do. So you have to have a little bit of a thick skin, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Township 7, friends. Go and find it. What's the website?
www.township7.com.
Good luck with the year. Have a good year. Have a great year. And a wonderful Christmas and New Year's.
You too. Thank you so much.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. With the holiday season up ahead, a quick reminder of the 2023 Hillside Holiday Gift Guide. 12 Days of Hillside, a mystery bundle of 12 individually wrapped wines. The Ultimate Hillside Collection has a wine for everyone. The Red Wine Lovers Collection, a curated selection of Hillside's favorite red wines. The Rosé Lovers Collection, a fun bundle of 3 unique expressions of rosé. The Aromatic Whites, a 6-pack collection of Hillside's iconic aromatic white wines. An amazing single vineyard Merlot collection. The Decadent Duo, luxurious fortified wines. And the wonderful book, Okanagan Eats. Details on the holiday gift guide at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Wines in Osoyoos. Their tasting room is closed for the season, aside from 2 weekends of winter in wine country, November the 24th through 26th, and December 1 through 3. Speaking of popular, the Mooncursor Wine Advent Calendar is now available, the Ghost of Syrah Past and Present in a box, the White Roan Christmas box, and the Pass to Turkey and the wine box. All the fun can be found at mooncursor.com. Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan. He is Mark Hopley. He's the winemaker at Hester Creek. Have they added any other titles or a GM or what? Ooh, anything else?
No. We have a general manager in Mark Sheridan. Just winemaker's good.
Okay, fine. Winemaker's good enough. Going back, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Going back to your start in the wine business, what was with Harry McWaters, was it not, at Sumac Ridge?
Yeah, absolutely. 2000, I worked for Harry.
Where did you get your education?
I went to, actually, believe it or not, Okanagan College. So it was one of the first winery assistant programs through. So you'll laugh, Terry. In that class was Bradley Cooper, Zanka Tennant was in there, myself, Paul Gartner from Pentage was in there.
A bunch of troublemakers, have I ever seen.
And Bradley was my lab partner, so that was trouble.
Did they tell you that this was not going to be an easy road? Did they sort of try to warn you?
No, it's the romance and the glamour of the wine business. You're never going to get dirty. And they don't tell you it's farming. But no, you learn it as you go, but it's been a great ride.
And what did you learn from Harry?
Oh, man. You know what? So much, Terry. How to treat customers. He knew how to make you feel special. He knew how to sell wine. Like that guy could sell wine to anybody. You didn't even know you needed it till you talked to Harry. He was just a great guy to learn under. And of course, he had Mark Wendenberg and Jason James, some really good winemakers, Dave Carson. So learn from those guys
Did
too.
you make bubble under him?
Yes, but yeah, it was a great place to learn. Worked with Chris DeLee, of course, and it was a great team. And
Sure.
Harry just had a great culture. It was a family business, and for me, that's what I loved about those times.
Now, we must, before we get on with talking about your wines, just talk about the year you've gone through, and we the killer freeze that happened. Just your take on what's and what the
Well,
future holds for the Okanagan.
I mean, first off, I want to say this. I'm always a glass half full guy. Moving forward, there's a lot of positive things going to happen. But we are in, as you know, coming off one of the hardest years we have. Mother Nature threw a lot of things at us this year. So it's one of those years, Terry, where you really, really learn. We had that cold snap last year over winter, where I think we got around minus 28 in the Oliver area for 2, 3 days. Obviously, vinifera don't love that. Certain varieties responded better than others. So we were dealt, let's just say, a shorter hand. Obviously, we did just over 400 tons this year, which for us is not the norm. But I'd say about 30% of normal was the crop. But in full disclosure, 22 was the biggest harvest we ever had. So you go from this, you're riding the wave, and the next thing and that is the nature of farming. We all know it, but I think next year we're looking for bigger things for sure.
There's an article out now just this morning about the future of the Okanagan and BC wine in general. And one of the things that came out of it was replanting. If you have to replant, what would you replant?
That's a great question. It really is. I think we have to be sensitive to some of the extreme climate events we've had. Like Syrah, didn't do that well this year over winter. Now it'll bounce back depending on where you're planted, but you may be looking at shorter tonnage. Obviously, the Burgundian varietals like Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, tended to do fairly well with the cooler weather. Honestly, Cab Franc is one that it got hit a bit this year, but not that bad. It's pretty resilient, and it's used in so many of our blends. We make a rosé out of it. It goes in the judge. It's kind of the backbone, the structure of a lot of wines, I think, in the south end of the valley. But I would say Cabernet Franc for sure. Viognier too. Viognier, at least our Viognier, tended to fare quite well
It
this year,
did,
and
huh?
I.
Okay.
That one of the weird things, Terry, that we noticed as an industry is some of the younger vines did better than some of the older vines, which is unusual in a cool year. And the reason I think that was because the younger vines matured so much earlier. We picked them early, so they had time to shut down. If you remember, we went from like t-shirt weather in let's say middle of November to really cold weather. And I think a lot of those vines, some of the older ones were still hanging fruit
Well,
late.
the hanging fruit, no, and they have to settle. It takes what, 3 weeks to
Yeah.
for change of scene for the vines to prepare themselves for winter, and I think they got caught short in terms of that
Yeah, I
transition.
think that was the big takeaway for me, is it didn't get a chance to go to bed happy.
Yeah, a couple of quotes I read from you. Very compacted year, low quality of days for harvest with high quality conditions. Here's the one, a real learning year. We had to work to be fluid. The one, I'm sure you used the word, but the one word I was looking for that defines this growing year was adapt. You have to be able to adapt.
Yeah, that's well said. It was that year. I mean, and just when you think of it, we had highway closures to deal with. There were wineries that were trying to get grapes from the south end of the valley to the north end of the valley, going via Highway 33. It was like, okay, now what? But honestly, the overall quality was really good, and that's always the takeaway. There may be a little less of it to go around, but thank God we had a huge harvest in 22.
So you really are a glass half full.
Yeah, really, you gotta be, right?
Now, a 2020 Ovine Brut.
Yes.
This guy here,
Oh.
which I got from the recycling, it's got some
I love
food on
it.
the bottom. This one
So
here.
that wine, yeah, so that is our traditional method sparkling wine.
Yep.
Now that's made from block four of our home vineyard here on the estate on the Golden Mile Bench. Those are, what are they now, 55-year-old vines. So
yep.
Some older vines. That's done in the traditional method. That wine just got 94 points recently. It's done really well for us. And we're just trying to kind of show the vineyard, show the vines, show the age of the vines, and hopefully develop some of that mouth weight over time with the lees contact.
24 months on tirage.
24 months on tirage. Yes. And that was a must have for us when we made this wine. We didn't want it to be 12 months or 16 or 18. We wanted the full 24 months as those yeast cells autolysize and just kind of give that biscuity, doughy kind of ready. Yes, thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
That's the one. Paired with sun-dried tomatoes, tapenade, or smoked oyster quesadillas, which I've never heard of. But we had it with chicken piccata last night.
How did it work?
It was incredible because, of course, chicken piccata's got a lot of lemon in it, and it all worked. It all worked. Mm-hmm. What's the price point on this?
Yes, that sells for $34.99.
Did you make a lot of it?
500 cases, so it's small production, but we plan on keeping it that way. We've capped that wine at 500 cases.
100% Pinot Blanc. Were some of these vines Joe Bustardo's?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly who planted this block. And this block is almost 10 acres, so it's a big block.
Man.
And it's right beside where Joe's house, kind of where the homestead was originally. Now our tractor shed is in that spot.
Cellaring up to 10 years?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's what I love. I love aged sparkling. It just kind of gets slightly oxidized. That mouth weight kind of comes more to the forefront. Yeah, for sure. I'd go up to 15 years on that.
Friends, if you're looking for, I don't often do this, but I'm going to do this right now. I hope it sort of shows itself. There you go.
Nice to
Old Vine Brut. You see this all over the place. You see it all over the place. If you want your nose to be filled with apple, citrus, like a bakery in the mouth. Again, citrus, lemon, for one. Light almond, and a minerality and a beautiful creamy mouthfeel. That's your bottle right there.
Love it. Love it. I always get a little bit of ginger on that, too, for some reason.
I didn't get a note. I did got no ginger.
No.
I got chicken piccata is what I got.
Go back.
Okay, let's take a break because when we come back, if it's okay with you,
yeah,
we're going to talk about your Merlot, your Cabernet Merlot, and the character Red, okay? The
Sounds
Reds
good.
Are next, all right? He's Mark Hopley. It says right on the screen, he's Mark Hopley. He's the winemaker at Hester Creek, Golden Mile. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Wines in Osoyoos. Their tasting room is closed for the season, aside from 2 weekends of winter in wine country, November the 24th through 26th, and December 1 through 3. Speaking of popular, the Mooncursor Wine Advent Calendar is now available. The Ghost of Syrah Past and Present in a box. The White Rhone Christmas box. And the Pass to Turkey and the Wine Box. All the fun can be found at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Wines in Osoyoos. Their tasting room is closed for the season, aside from 2 weekends of winter in wine country, November the 24th through 26th and December 1 through 3. Speaking of popular, the Mooncursor Wine Advent Calendar is now available. The Ghost of Syrah Past and Present in a box. The White Rhone Christmas box. And the Pass to Turkey and the Wine Box. All the fun can be found at mooncursor.com. Welcome back. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. He's Mark Hopley. He's the winemaker at Hester Creek. This is the first week of the first, not a full week, but the first couple of days of December.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got something you want to announce and you want to save it to the end of this segment?
So, no, let's jump in now.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, we've got a wine, it's called Winemaker's Trilogy. And this wine is a very, very small production. We only made 1,200 bottles total. We did 3 vintages of it, a 20, a 21, and a 22. So this wine, the first one's called Project X. There's literally 200 bottles left. It's at $110 price point. It's available as we speak. So December 1st, Friday, December 1st through the wine shop here at Hester Creek or online. And so what we did with this wine, Terry, is we took Petit Verdot and Malbec as the structure, the bones, the base of the wine, and then we complemented it with a different fruit each vintage. So the first vintage has Old Vine Merlot from the property. The second vintage, we chose to use Syrah. And the last vintage, we used Sangiovese. So what you're going to see, this wine is very inky, very dark, very bold. It's unfiltered, unfined, and never been pressed. So basically just the free run goodness. And it's a big wine. One of the, probably the biggest wine I've ever been associated with. And we're really proud of it as a team.
How are we going to find Project X?
You got to call the wine shop at Hester Creek on the Golden Mile Bench. Give us a shout there. Or you can do it also through our HesterCreek.com website. It's $110. There's only 200 bottles left.
So let me understand. So are there three distinct bottles with those?
Yeah, so it's XYZ.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one is Project X. And basically it all has to do with sense of place. So the latitude, the longitude, and the coordinates of our crush bed.
So, Mark, you're in Canada. Yes. You can't say Z.
Did I? I'm going to get in trouble for that.
You are.
It's not the first time I've done it. Z.
Okay. All right. So it's a trilogy, and it's out now. As of, you know,
yes.
Friday.
Okay. Yes, sir. Awesome. And honestly, so it was sold as like the three vintage, almost like a pre-buy for the following next years. But now you can buy individual bottles if there's any left over. We almost sold out of it, but we have 200 bottles left. And if you're a fan of Big BC Reds, I think this is one to put on the Christmas list.
What does it remind you of?
Higher elevation South America, to be honest with you, like some of the Cab Francs you get, like that style, but more in the Petit Verdot and Malbec vein. So a higher, cooler climate, very intense, nice acidity, but just a finish that goes on and on.
Way to go.
Thank you.
Project X. I have one of your bottles behind me with Joe Bursnarder's name on it, on the label. And I was going to go over and have a open it for him and pour it for him. But then I talked myself out of it because you guys have probably already sent him some and he already knows what it tastes like.
What's funny, I actually went to visit him on the island in the spring just to say hello and thank him for planting these vines all that many years ago. And he's doing some good things on the island. He's still keeping busy as ever.
He's still a troublemaker.
Yes. Yes.
And he should never get into politics ever. All right. Let's talk about Hester Creek on the Golden Mile and your 2022 Select Vineyards Merlot, the Cab Merlot. Oh, what a blend. And the character red. So the Merlot itself. I think we take Merlot for granted here in BC.
Agreed. I mean, and that's why we chose to use it in Project X, the first vintage, because it really brings a fruit component.
Sure.
You always know it's going to reach full phenolic ripeness in the Okanagan Valley. And I think it's just such a fruit bomb. It needs to be in there. But this Select Vineyards Merlot from 22 is a great harvest. We pick fruit from this property, so from our estate here on the Golden Mile Bench. But we also complement it with some of our contract growers that we have basically from, let's say, OK Falls to Asuyas.
The oak program, combination of French and American oak, newer
years. Yeah, so we've done some changes to that program. We have grown our barrel cellar from literally 200 barrels to over 725 in the past 10 months. So that to me is exciting. This particular wine is 60% French, 40% American. We're kind of, we've made a move. Brooke and myself have been buying a lot more French oak barrels. The only real big oak program now that we use the American for is in the Syrah. But some of these, the 40% American oak in this is truly neutral oak for the most part. So most of our wines are now been French focus driven, if that makes sense.
Took the words right out of my mouth. 60% French, 40% American. Cellar for 5 years. Kind of surprises me. I thought it would have a little longer hang.
Now, this wine is not as extracted. So this is an everyday. This is a wine that, you know, you've got your charcuterie platter or something like that, or just sit around with good friends or a fireplace in the winter. And the price point on this wine is $19.99. So yeah. A BC red wine for under $20.
Yeah.
The French and American oak. It's not designed to age for 20 years, but I will tell you that, you know, 3-4 years down the road, my opinion, it's in a screw cap, so it's not in a cork, but these wines do develop over time, and they get a little more leathery, a little more salty.
But I mean, if you're putting out $19, it's all bonus. It's a bonus.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a lot of people's sweet spot between 19, let's say $20 and $30.
He's Mark Hopley. He's the winemaker at Hester Creek Golden Mile. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. The Cabernet Merlot.
So again, a similar style. 22 is a great year. This is, let's say, the best vineyards we can find for this wine. It's a $21.99 price point. So it's not often you find, 50% Cab Franc, 38% Merlot, 12% Cab Sauv in a wine under $25 in BC. So this, again, is meant to be consumed relatively young, but it will age with grace, 3, 4, 5 years max, I would say.
Bordeaux style.
At 38%, we might be leaning towards the right bank a bit, but
50% Cab Franc, 38 Merlot, 12% Cab Sauv, 75% French oak, 25% American, again, used, neutral.
Again, the used component on that would be about 25%. Our bigger wines are usually 30 to 40% max on the new oak. But again, the American treatment would be older barrels for sure.
Could you expect people paying $19 or $20 or $21 to want to know what vineyard their wine came from?
Yes, absolutely. And we do talk about the growers on the back. So sure. A lot of it is from the estate. But we also talk about, our vineyard manager, Iqbal Gill, who owns numerous vineyards up and down the valley. We draw from his vineyard. We have some properties down near Road 15, another one off just Sunflower. So, yes, those vineyards are usually listed in the back. So hopefully there's a sense of place, but it's all from south of McIntyre Bluff.
What attracts me to this wine is the 50% Cab Franc, because I'm a Cab Franc hound. And normally it's the other way around. It's Merlot with Cab Franc taking the second or third seat or in the back seat. I love the fact that the Cab Franc is strong enough and big enough to carry that.
Yeah, thank you. It's something that we're known for, and I think the Okanagan personally does very well. Cab Franc just does well here. It winters well. It reaches full phenolic ripeness, and I think it's a great place to grow it.
I wish you had more Gamay.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that variety. I know it's one I've talked to a few people that are planning that, and I have worked with it in the past. What's that?
Gamay.
Well, Gamay. I'll tell you what, can I let a secret slip?
Yeah.
We've got a new wine coming out with Grenache.
Ah.
So let's say in the GSM vein. Okay. So that's going to be a new wine for us coming out this summer.
Character Red.
Character Red. So now you talked about Joe's original planting. So yeah. Joe Bisnardo, bringing those cuttings out from Italy. Block 13 of our Golden Mile Bench Estate. They're gnarly vines. And it's a real driver in this wine. We call it Italian Clone Merlot simply because it is so unique. It's very salty. Lots of olives. It really tastes old world. Yeah, very peppery for sure.
My kind of stuff. Thank you, Joe. Tasted, blended, and aged for 8 months in French and American oak barrels, blueberry, blackberry, black ripe red fruit, peppery mid-palate, a grape with a charcuterie. Again, selling up to 5 years. What's the price point?
$22.99, and we made 4,400 cases. So again, readily available.
Thank you.
I think that's a place where people look for value, and I think hopefully this delivers that.
So this Italian Merlot clone, is that as close as we're going to get to knowing what it is?
We probably have to do a little bit. We've been doing a deep dive on it and have not got any definitive DNA testing on it.
Could it stand on its own, Mark? Could it stand on its own, do you think?
Well, it does. So funny you should ask that. So we also make a really small lot called Joe's Block, and that's in our storage series. So you can get that through the wine shop. And that is exclusively 100% that old Italian clone, and it's very unique.
So it's the clone, Syrah, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. Do you know your percentages of each?
Not off the top of my head, but those
what
the varieties.
What carries the Character Red then?
Well, in my mind, it's Joe's Block. So it's the Italian clone Merlot. That really carries it. It's a large percentage of that. But we also have the Syrah and the Petit Verdot component. I mean, Syrah. That wine is basically the Petit Verdot and the Syrah, little splash of Malbec, and then the Joe's Block. Okay. That's the framework.
I won't keep you much longer. But you tell the audience, mm-hmm. while I go find that Joe's, I think it's right behind that door.
Okay.
Tell them about your fishing podcast.
Okay. I know you're a big fly fisher, so I've got a fly fishing podcast. It's called Fly Fishing 97 Podcast. And basically, like yourself, we just interview people, guides in the space, find out their fishing story, what brings them to the water, talk about favorite. We talk music, we talk wine, all kinds of things. So, that's something we've put a lot of work into just in our spare time over the last few years, but enjoying it a lot. Oh, you found it.
I was saving it for Joe. I was going to go over and pour it with him.
That's awesome. I would love to know your feedback on that wine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love this. I love the history behind this. And I haven't even tasted it yet. I just love the history. How much is there of it?
4 barrels. I think we grew it to 5 barrels last year. Okay. But it's very, again, very small production.
And Joe's tasted it, right?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
No. Woo-hoo! I tasted through his wines. He's pretty familiar with the grapes here on the property.
Okay, let's wrap this up by saying you have a Project X event happening now, literally now, at Hester Creek. Remind people again what it is and how they can get in on it.
So a couple things. So basically, it's a $110 bottle of Okanagan goodness. It's called Project X Winemaker's Trilogy. It's a 2020 vintage, unfined, unfiltered. There's only 200 bottles left. Check out HesterCreek.com, or you can call a wine shop today. It's not going to hang around, I don't think, for Christmas for sure. And also, we're doing the Terrafina at home thing, Terry, this year. So basically, if you feel like not cooking, why don't you come by the wine shop? Because Chef and his team have been making up like our pizza dough. You know our pizzas, like our potato truffle pizza. So you can buy that dough. You can buy fresh homemade pastas from Terrafina at the wine shop, and they've got the sauces too, so it makes supper easy.
Terrafina hours, lunch Thursday to Sunday, dinner daily, starting at 5 o'clock, closed December the 16th until February 9, 2024, this Terrafina. The Villas closed December 5 until February the 9th. The wine shop, the daily hours are 10 to 4, tastings at the bar. He's Mark Hopley. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for your wines. Yeah. Thank you for hanging in there. And
my pleasure.
And for adapting.
Okay, Terry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor Wines in Osoyoos. Their tasting room is closed for the season. Aside from 2 weekends of winter in wine country, November the 24th through 26th and December 1 through 3. Speaking of popular, the Moon Cursor Wine Advent Calendar is now available. The Ghost of Syrah Past and Present in a box. The White Roan Christmas box. And the Pass to Turkey and the Wine Box. All the fun can be found at mooncursor.com.